last week, for those of you who weren't here, I recommend actually that you listen to the podcast online on our website. I believe it was quite a landmark word, and that has the power. I believe God's word in every situation has the power to change us, but has the power to produce a shift in your heart and mind. To really watch out for the dangers of passivity. And the warnings that Jesus brought about Christians, really, he's speaking about to us as people, as God's people, of becoming Christians and being lazy spiritually, being lazy in your walk with God, being lazy in your involvement in church life, being lazy in serving and giving. Because it's always this principle flowing through everything. You will reap what you sow. But also we saw last week that one of the dangers of passivity, in other words, doing nothing, you only have to look at the field of a lazy man or woman and learn a lesson by looking at that field, that the only thing that grows if he does nothing is weeds and thorns. Rubbish. And Jesus has not given us a new heart and put his spirit in us for us to not be wise with what we do with our hearts and lives and make sure that we actually put into our relationship with God individually. And so this whole vision and warning is a warning for you and for me that passivity in any season of life is very dangerous. And the enemy, sin and the devil can come in like it happened with David, who was an amazing spiritual leader, but ended up falling because he wasn't in the right place at the right time doing the right thing. And so you and I need to guard against passivity and guard our own hearts and lives. Scripture tells us to keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. Keep your heart with all diligence. Now that word diligence is the opposite to passive. It means you put some effort in, you work at keeping your heart as a place like a field where God can put the good seed of his word in. And so a good harvest will be produced in your life. And those who are not diligent actually end up with only a little or no harvest, or a little harvest. But those who are diligent and work in effectively in their relationship with God, there is an effort to put in to your relationship with God. But when you do that, you actually will end up with what Jesus described as being like somebody who has a 30, 60, 100-fold increase, because your life will be so fruitful and you'll see the supernatural power of God. You'll see the promises of God begin in your heart and actually end up being harvested. And you and I all want to harvest the promises, don't we? Well, we've got to be diligent to sow them and to keep them in our heart and let them grow up in us and make no room for weeds and thorns and the influences of this life that come in to destroy what good seed Jesus wants to grow out of our lives. John 15:7. Let's just look at these words of Jesus. And this morning, you know, I'm going to be very practical. And it's going to be a very practical, empowering meeting for you to develop your personal relationship with God. I want to help you. Many of you have probably walked with Jesus and known the Lord for many years, but I still think you could grow a bit more, like me. I could grow a lot more. Could you grow a lot more? There's a lot more seed, which is God's word, to grow. And I want to see a harvest of everything that God wants to do in my life. And Jesus actually says this in John 15, verse 7. If you remain in me, and my words, say my words.
My words.
Where do you find God's words? In the Bible. Now, you might have a Bible on your phone, so that may be the way, or your iPad, or your Kindle. I have one on my Kindle. I have a few versions on my Kindle because I just quickly download them. But I've got a written word, a book, and actually I still like books. I like electronic, but I like a book. I like the feel of pages. Personal. Might not be your way. But what matters to Jesus is that we live in him, and his words live in us, which means his words don't just live in your book or your phone or your tablet or your Kindle. But the word of God is taken out of those ways of receiving God's word, the written or the electronic, and are invested in your own heart. Abide in me and let my words find their home in your heart. How many of you want the word of God to find his home in your heart? I want him to fill my house, my home, with his word and his presence. His spirit and his word. We need both. We need both the word and the spirit. The Bible is all about Jesus and what his plans and purposes are for your life. You'll never get to know who God is without reading the word of God. And your input, or the input of the word in your life, determines the output. What you put in will be what you get out. It's the same way of saying you will reap what you sow. If you will sow a lot of the word in your heart, you will reap a lot of God in your life. There is one thing that has shaped my life more than anything. And I want to just lift up a lifestyle this morning, not just a message. There have been many messages I've heard over the years. I've been following Jesus for over 20 years. I've heard loads of messages. Some of them I can't even remember, but I know the seed was sown in my heart. Do you know what I mean? Some of you can't remember what was said 5 minutes ago. But it's the seed, it's supernatural, and it's sown into good hearts. As you listen, as you come into a place to hear the word. And I've been so blessed by ministers and people who have been put around me, members of my family, who've actually modeled and exampled what a true Christian is like. Because I learned pretty early on they were true and they were not so good. The ones who weren't such a great example. I learned it really early on when I became a Christian. And we apply grace to those who mess up, don't we? Because we all have. We've all messed up. But we don't learn from those who mess up. We learn from those who are a good example. Paul says that you need to follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. So we've got great examples, most of them. Most of it is the main one being Jesus. But there is one thing that has fueled my life. It isn't a message. It isn't a week at Faith Camp, although that has transformed my life numerous occasions, because you reap what you sow. If you put in, you'll get out. And it isn't really somebody else's relationship with God. The one thing that has fueled my life, kept my faith, kept me encouraged when I could have been greatly discouraged, kept me happy when I was facing sadness, and kept me in vision when it was curtains. The one thing that has changed my life more than anything is my own personal relationship with God. That is the one thing that has made me be what I am today. Others have had an incredible part, and I honor God, and we do need each other. Church is about needing each other, and God's plan for you is church. But it's both personal relationship with God and corporate church being together at set times, meeting times. When the church meets, that means you're here. That's what it means. We're meeting. And that is all part of God's plan for our health and growth. You see, when I was born again, I was 27 when I became a Christian. For those of you who are new Christians. And I was born again, I was hungry. Spiritually. I wanted God. I'd just come to know God. Why wouldn't you? And I was born again hungry. I was like, I'm going to get myself a Bible straight away. Nobody else bought it for me. I bought it for myself because I wanted it. I was advised to get a daily reading plan, which was good advice. But I didn't just stick to a daily reading plan because that's somebody else's interpretation of the word. I did that as well as read the Bible myself. Read the Bible myself. That's what I did because I was hungry and I knew I needed food, the bread of life. I needed the word of God to feed me. And I wanted to feed my relationship with Jesus. I loved him. He did everything for me. I was like, I love Jesus. I didn't used to, but to do now. And I want to know him. I want to know his plan. I want to tap into his heart. I want to know what he thinks about our world, how he sees me. I want to know about God. And so I knew that I could find out in the Bible, in the Word of God. I used to read Psalms. Aren't they relevant when you're going through a tough time? Anybody ever read a psalm and gone, bang on? Yes. Oh, my soul, why are you troubled within me? Put your hope in God. Has anybody ever found nourishment and hope in the Psalms? I've looked at some bits and not understand them and still don't. Is that all right? I know that some of it doesn't apply to me anymore because I'm a child of God. And some of Scripture is speaking about unbelievers and those who are outside a covenant with God. And so I learned to be selective, but I began to get to know God. I began to know him through sowing his word into my life. I used to listen to a guy called Ian White. Now, he wasn't the best musician, most interesting tunes. But when I was born again, he used to put psalms into song. So it was the word of God direct into a tune. And I can still, like yesterday when I was praising the Lord, I took one of those from 20 odd years ago, popped up in my memory, and I started to sing, I will extol the Lord with all my heart. And I began, it just came out of me. And it's written in the Bible, but it began to be written in me because I was singing the word of God. And so I was born hungry. Now, I've noticed not everybody feeds that hunger and allows other things to crash in and they start to get hungry for other things. Because if you don't feed the good, your desires for bad will grow. And you get hungry to go back to the old life, hungry to go back to Egypt, the world, hungry to look to other places for your satisfaction. But I have learned that the only place to get help is God and his word. Are we awake this morning? I know it's warm. Real success. Victories in life happen not on the battlefields of life, but at home on your own with God. Real victories and success don't happen out in work, in your relationship, in your family. They begin and happen on your own with God. And that will get you ready to be successful on the battlefield. Yeah? And what you do in the secret place on your own in your relationship with God determines what God does publicly. Wowzers. Listen to this statement. What God does publicly in our lives, in the lives of others, at work, in our businesses, in our relationships, in our church, in our nation, is directly determined by our time alone with God in the Word and prayer. How many of you want to be seeing a public demonstration of God's power? Well, trace it all back to time alone with God. The fruit will come out of you having a powerful, effective relationship daily with Jesus Christ. You see, I need to, and you need to daily fight the good fight of faith. How many of you know that that's what the Bible says? You need to fight the good fight of faith. Somebody put it like this, faith leaks. Does your faith leak?
Yes.
And do you need daily to trust God, to live by faith? Well, the only way faith comes, Romans 10 tells us, the way that faith comes is by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You need to be in the Word, listening to the Word in your heart for faith to grow. I was recently facing a situation where somebody else needed a miracle, a healing miracle. And I knew as I looked at that situation, you see, I believe in healing with all of my heart. I believe it's Jesus, it's the will of God. And I've got a certain level of faith that is fairly consistent because I've built the Word in me. I'm not double-minded because I know God isn't about healing. It's His will. But I needed fresh faith for this situation. And so I read about Jesus on the cross and I went to Isaiah 53. I had time with God in His Word. And I looked at Isaiah 53, which for most of you will know, and if you don't, let me tell you, it's a prophetic picture of what Jesus accomplished, the victory He accomplished over sin, over sickness, over sorrow and grief, on the cross, all of humanity's needs. And if you read Isaiah 53, you will come to a new faith that Jesus has only one route, and that's healing.
Amen.
Because if He took all our sins on the cross, He also took upon Himself all our sicknesses and diseases, and by the stripes of Jesus we are healed. When does He want me to believe it? Now and every day. Do I believe it every day actively? Maybe it leaks. Do you understand? So I had to get back to the Word, and I heard the Word again. I got a picture of the victory of Jesus in my heart, and I realized, healing in the name of Jesus. Who has believed my report? The Lord says, I do. I believe your report, Jesus, not what the doctors are saying.
Amen.
And so, daily we need faith to fight the good fight of faith. It's a good fight because if you've got faith, you're going to win in life.
Amen.
This is the victory that overcomes the whole world. Our faith. This is the victory that overcomes every trouble, every situation, every difficulty, our faith.
Yes.
And so you need the Word in you to believe it before you can see the victory in that circumstance.
Yes.
I daily need help from Jesus.
Yes.
So I ask Him, I pray. I don't kind of say I don't need you till crisis time. I know I need Him every day. I daily need wisdom. I need to have my thinking straightened. And the only way to straighten out your thinking is with the Word of God. And I daily need to change. I know you think I'm perfect, but I'm not. I'm perfect in my spirit, my heart, but I'm not perfect in the outworking of all that Jesus is and wants to be through me. So I need to be transformed into His likeness from one degree of glory to another. I want to go that way, up, transformation into glory, not that way, transformation into weeds, thorns, and horror. And I determine which way I go, by what I sow. Another rhyming thing, say that, say it to your neighbor. I determine which way I go, by what I sow. So this morning, I am bringing a message on a lifestyle that will make you a success as a Christian, and not just a message.
Amen.
Is that okay?
Yes.
To give you a lifestyle. Many of you maybe have lived like this for years. I don't know. God knows. I don't. He sees you and your relationship with God. But I think we could always remind ourselves of the lifestyles that really work and produce fruit. We need to be really careful about how we live in our day. Because the devil wants to take us out, and he can't take you out if you've got faith. It's a fight you will lose if you don't have faith. But it's a fight you'll win if you have faith. You understand? So faith, your own personal faith, needs to grow so that you can overcome a whole lot more stuff and see Jesus use you to change people's lives for the better.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
There is a story. I'm just going to read this and explain it a bit, and then we're going to go into some practical stuff. 2 Kings chapter 13. 2 Kings chapter 13. Verse 14. Well, let's go from 15, actually. Elisha is about to go to be with the Lord, and there is this king called Jehoash, king of Israel. And he goes to see Elisha. And he realizes that Elisha, being a prophet, could bring the word of the Lord to him and could bring him the answers for his life. And so let's just read verse 15. Now Elisha said to this king, "Get a bow and some arrows." And he did so. "Take the bow in your hands," he said to the king of Israel. When he'd taken it, Elisha put his hands on the king's hands, and he said, "Open the east window." And he said, and he opened it. "Shoot," Elisha said, and he shot. "The Lord's arrow of victory." The arrow of victory over Aram, that means the enemy, Elisha declared. "You will completely destroy the Arameans at Aphek." Then he said, "Take the arrows," and the king took them, and Elisha told him, "Strike the ground." He struck it 3 times and stopped. The man of God was angry with him and said, "You should have struck the ground 5 or 6 times, then you would have defeated Aram and completely destroyed it. But now you will only defeat it 3 times. Well, how can we unpack that for it to make sense to everybody in the room? Especially when we're speaking about a lifestyle of a daily relationship with God. Well, just think about this man who needed God's help in life. He couldn't win his own battles, and none of us can. You can't win over your own flesh. You need God. You need God's help. You need God's help to resist temptation. You need God's help to speak to you and give you faith. You need him to do things in your marriage, in your business. You need him to direct your life. And so this guy recognized he needed God. And I would think there's everybody in this room would say, actually, even if you don't really know Jesus, I would like God's help in life. And it was that recognition that led him to a place where he could hear God speak. And he went to Elisha. Now, Elisha represents the word of the Lord, or God speaking. And Jesus actually said in Matthew 6, if we could just look at this scripture to try and make sense of Kings, Matthew 6, verse 6. He said, "When you pray, Go into your room. Can we say this together so we stay awake? When you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So Jesus says you don't have to go and find a prophet. Because Jesus has made a way for every Christian, everybody who has accepted him and is born again, to have a direct one-on-one relationship with God. Never get over that. Hello? You might know it in your head, but you better keep that amazed in you. That's amazing. You, direct line, don't have to go through someone else. Because Jesus is the mediator between God and man. There's only one. And so Jesus says, I am with you always. But he says, you need help in life. You need daily to know what to do. You need me. Go into your room and pray. Close the door, because your Father is in that place. Now, it might feel like you can't see or feel anybody there, because you won't. Because we live by faith, not by feelings or by sight. But Jesus says your Father is there, and he sees. You pray to your Father, and he sees. Amen. He sees this where nobody else sees. And so we don't have to go to an Elisha. We just have to find a room, a space, a time to be on our own in the quiet where we can pray and receive from God. And the good thing is that what happens in that place will be demonstrated outside in your life. I like the open reward. Does anybody like the end bit? He will reward you. Does anybody like rewards? Well, you're not human and born again even if you don't like a reward. That's how God's actually kind of leading us into this place with a little bit of a, hey, look what can happen, guys. I'll reward you openly. Isn't that amazing? He's a good father. So when Elisha said to take up the bow and arrow, remember he said it to the king, get a bow and arrow. What on earth does this have to do with a personal prayer life and time with God? Well, if you think of the bow, you could think of it like prayer. If anybody, when I was young, we made a bow and arrow. Parents told us off afterwards. But we made our own arrow, just sharpened a bit. Don't do this at home. Don't do this. But we sharpened a piece of wood, and we got a piece of wood, and we got some string, and we made this bow. I mean, it wasn't brilliant. But when you pulled it back, it kind of had power in it to send something out, didn't it? That's what a bow, that's how a bow, you pull it back, you get this amazing power within that bow to shoot an arrow. And so your bow is your prayer. It kind of brings the power of God to be released through the arrow, which is the Word of God. Okay? These are weapons. Word of God and prayer. So pick up your Bible when nobody's watching. The battle might be raging miles away or in another room. Hello? Anybody want to be real this morning? And get to prayer and the Word of God. Then he says, open the window and shoot. Bring the arrow out into, shoot it out into every circumstance of need and every circumstance that needs victory. So the Word of God and prayer open up your life to seeing the power of God move out into every situation that God wants to bring victory.
Amen.
Yeah? It's the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. That's the word of God. Now when, this king must have thought, I always thought prophets were weird, but today I think they're more weird. We are in a room, the guy's lying on a bed, and he's telling me to get a bow and arrow, to open a window and shoot out an arrow. Now we've got to be talking weird, this does not look like I'm going to win in life just by doing this. It looks foolish. Is it a waste of time? How many of you have had time with God and thought, is it a waste of time? Just me? Because you can't see an immediate solution happening straight away. He must have thought, he's wanting me to shoot an arrow into thin air. I can't see an enemy there. It's like speaking the word into thin air. Is anything happening? And the guy would have thought, woo! This guy's gone, whoopee! What's going on here? But he knew that this was a spiritual lesson about winning great victories and battles that he could never win without God. And we are in the kingdom for such a time as this to win great victories for Jesus. We're not here for our own ends. We're here for the kingdom of heaven to be advancing and the enemy defeated. Where does it all come from? Secret place. Time on your own with God. We need arrows of victory for everyday life. We need the word of God and prayer. Victory for everyday life. And I'm speaking of a lifestyle because, you see, what happened with this king, Elisha, the word came and said, hit, pick up the arrows, another kind of, this is really getting weird. Bang. Well, you don't, it's not what you do with an arrow. You don't hit a ground with a weapon. But he hit, and he stopped it three times. You know what that speaks of? Stop, start, stop, start, stop, start. Christians, inconsistency equals problems. You won't see victory in inconsistency. You must learn to train your own flesh to do the will of God. Like I've had to learn to train my own bad self. Hello? I have done what you and I have, we've all done this. I don't feel like praying and getting into the Word. Has anybody ever done that? If you haven't, I think you must be not telling the truth. I'd imagine everybody in this room hasn't felt like being diligent and sowing the word daily and having a daily prayer time with God. Yeah? And when I've left that, I know I haven't carried the edge of victory into my day. The only way is God's way. Jesus exampled it. Every Christian that has ever done anything for God examples it. You are only as powerful as your own time with Jesus Christ. And if that isn't real, then the victories won't come. And so your input determines the output. Hit the ground, repeat, do it again and again. Even if you're seeing nothing happening, spend time with God. Keep going, because victories are on their way.
Amen.
Amen. Never ever give up on that secret place. Never ever, come on church, never ever withdraw from there, because you are going to withdraw from victory. Amen. Elijah. Elisha couldn't do it for him. Elisha told him what to do to win. And your pastor can't do it for you. Your faith group leader can't do this for you. And guys and girls, if you're married, your husband or wife can't do this for you. This is a personal, you see, your mediator isn't your wife or husband. And I'm not your mediator. Jesus is the only one. He is the way, the truth, and the life. We have come into a relationship. I can equip you and help you, and that's important. But there must be a direct line between you and God for you to be successful and win. And I want to paint a picture over your future before I finish and just share a bit of practical how-tos. Your destiny is dependent on doing this. So is mine. The future victories we're going to see together is dependent on this. You can only be a healthy Christian if you do this. The bow of prayer and the arrow of the word. That is your victory. God bringing victory into everyday situations in our lives. And your destiny in God isn't going to happen if you're lazy. It's not going to happen if you're passive. It's not going to happen if you do nothing. But it will happen if you do this. Because doing this will energize you to do all the other things that God calls you into. It will fuel your life so that you can serve God in this generation. How many of you want to be that kind of person who serves the purpose of God in our generation? Well, today, Grassroots Day, it's a lifestyle of diligence and discipline. Sorry, guys. There's no other way for you or me. Tell the flesh, get down. We're going to go and pray. Tell yourself to get out of bed. We're going to tell yourself to turn off the TV. We're going to pray. Tell yourself to get out of the company, being the most social bud you are. I love being with people. Well, that's great, but get on your own with God. Tell yourself if you're too busy, you're actually saying, God, you're down the list. You're right down the bottom of the pile because I'm busy. Tell yourself you're making excuses. And be a real soldier of the cross of Jesus Christ. Be a proper one. Because you will be a blessing. You will bring light and life to others. You will be a transformer. You'll be someone who turns the world upside down. You'll know what God is saying and have a word in season to sustain the weary. You'll have an anointing, a faith that is fresh to bring breakthrough into people's lives. You'll have what it takes. So don't hide behind a Sunday. But get in with God. Dig in with God. Get into that place and say, this is going to work for me. And this will change your life. The outcome of daily battles in life is determined by time alone with God. Brilliant. Now, bit longer, is that okay? I know it's really hot up here, but I think I'm hotter than you. We were hearing the Lord about this week. Been hearing the Lord about it for a few weeks, actually. And before I got this message from Kings, this happened first, what God spoke to us. And he was talking to us about time, having time with God and bringing it to you, the church. And if you're visiting today, if you've got no other church, we'd love to have you. If you're not part of another church, we'd love to have you, to be part of us, to join with us in this. If you're just visiting today and have belong somewhere else, it's a blessing you came just to hear this, to be stirred up in your destiny in God. But as we were praying, we realized that sometimes little slogans or words can really help to give us direction in our time with God. And we came up with this acrostic, and to be honest, making up this acrostic, we laughed, we cried. Because we came up with the most stupid things you've ever heard initially. We were trying to find a word that would help to actually encourage you and remind you how to have time alone with God. Now, there have been other words that people have used, but there's a word called soap, and that's about scripture, and I don't know what else it is, but it's not my word. And it's really good, but it didn't work for me because I always think of being dirty. So, but that's just personal. But we just were asking the Lord, is there something? And God gave us this word that I don't think I've heard anybody have before to help us in our time with God. And that word is arrow. Arrow. Arrow time is time alone with God. So we've got this slide here. Your time with God. And we've got this acrostic, arrow. And this works because A is for ask. I'm going to be in the way there. R is for read. R is for record. O is for observe. And where we must end is W is for walk. A is for ask. You're all going to get a little postcard. You okay with that? Free. It's just free. You can have it free. But I tell you what, if you do it, wow, it's priceless. It's invaluable. But arrow, isn't that a good one? We were all like, that's brilliant. You should have heard the others. They were terrible. This was like a moment, and then God gave me this arrows of victory, and I realized, bum, 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 bum. Yeah. That's it. Yeah. Come on, church. Let's have arrow time. I mean, that used to be called quiet time, and if you want it quiet, go ahead. There's only half an hour silence in heaven, so nothing's quiet up there. But, you know, that can be very passive in its comment. Arrow time kind of makes me think of victory, yeah. Winning. And we also actually have this comment at the end. If you put into practice this, delivering winners. Arrow time, delivering winners. That actually you will become a winner for Jesus Christ if this is part of your time with God. Now, let me unpack. Can I? For a few minutes, in this heat, in this joyful place, looking at your gorgeous faces. By the way, you do look nice today, even though you're warm. Thought somebody might say it, so I thought I'd say thank you quick. Just let me unpack this, your time alone with God, because some of you are brand new Christians, and some of you maybe have got a little bit rusty in your relationship with God. And I believe that even just listening and applying this in a new way may bring something fresh in your own time with God. And what you would need before you have an arrow time, can I give you some things that you need before you start to pray? And that is a time. Okay? A time. A time to go into your room and close the door. A time. So, it may not be the same every day. For me, it works best in the morning. I know Pastor Andrea works best at night. Some of you mums or dads, it works best whenever you can. But make room. Find time. It can happen anywhere. So you need a time and a place. So where is that place for you? Where are you going to find that place? Could it be at home? Could it be in the car? Now, driving, you can't read your word. Now, you can't totally concentrate on time with God because you're hopefully looking at the road. And we will pray for you if you don't. You need a time and a place. You need a Bible. Written, you know, paper or tablet. You need a Bible. You need to get a pen, which why I like paper is I write down. I keep a journal. This is my current journal. It's not expensive. I have one after another, and I tell you, I've got so many over the years of journals. But it's to record the things that I'm learning, seeing, hearing from God, what God is saying, and sometimes what God is actually speaking to me personally. I just write all those things down. You should see it. It's a bit messy. That's mine, but yours would be different. Actually, my writing's always messy. I saw San do that. And I've said it all. A time, a place, a Bible, a journal, a pen.
Yes.
Okay? Good. Then, what happens? Ask. Start with prayer. Because you're in a relationship with your Heavenly Father who loves you and cares about you.
Amen.
He cares. And often before you can really hear the Lord, you need to get rid of all your concerns and worries. Cast all your cares onto Him because He cares for you. So just hand them over to Jesus, anything you're worried about. Ask Him to work in those situations. Then I pray. I haven't finished praying yet, but just short. I say, Father, I need you to speak to me. So I need to hear your voice. And I want to ask that you give me understanding as I read the word, the Bible. That you'll give me understanding so that I'll be able to understand what you're saying and hear what you're speaking to me. Okay? Simple prayers, aren't they? Then I read scripture. Now, if you start at the beginning, if you've just become a Christian and start in Genesis and work your way through, I think you'll pretty soon get tired. Because every book in the Bible, all scripture is God-breathed. It carries the life of God. But you're better when you first become a Christian to start in the Gospels. Start with Jesus, and the kind of right-hand side of your Bible. Turn right. Get to Matthew, turn right. Before Matthew, turning left is the Old Covenant, which has still got some amazing stuff and is useful for all of us. But you should start with what is the New Testament. Yeah? Stories about Jesus and about church and the book of Acts, which is incredible. It's all action. I love the book of Acts. God did this, God did that, bah, bang, wallop, it all happening. It's amazing, healed, incredible. So you read that and it's fireworks. Actually, you read Jesus and it's the same. But I take a plan sometimes, a Bible reading plan. We've got a few downstairs, I think. You can find one online. I take a pattern. I might follow a pattern. I might do a psalm, a chapter of a gospel, and I might be reading through Kings, for example. But I just take, some of you just need to take a small portion to start. Don't bite off more than you can chew. Remember, chewing it is different to biting. It's getting in you. I might take a subject. For example, the other day when I needed refreshing my faith on healing for someone, I took a subject of healing and I began to study that. And faith came into me by just studying that subject in scripture. Or I'll just take a whole book of the Bible, one of the Matthew's Gospel, Mark, Luke, John, or one of the epistles, and just read my way through that, bit at a time. Maybe a half a chapter a day or a full chapter, depending on how much I'm getting God speaking to me and what I'm listening to and how much it's impacting me. As I said earlier, I don't just use somebody else's daily readings. It's good to sometimes, But remember, it's somebody else's interpretation, and I want God to speak to me through the written word, the pure, perfect, unchanging word of God. And when you first start, it's like trying to find your way through a new city. You haven't got directions. That's why you need other Christians to help you to find your way around the Bible, find your way around in your relationship with God. But the Bible is the word of God, irreplaceable in the life of a Christian. Then record. Ask, read, then record. Write down the inspiration that you receive, the understanding you've got, or the comment that really hit you, or something that you're actually seeing for the first time. So record what you're seeing, and God is bringing understanding and speaking to you. I often write down what amazes me. Keep it so light and bright, like Jesus, right? This is amazing, God. Write down what amazes you about Jesus. What amazes you about disciples, what they can do. What amazes you about church life. Write down the gifts of the Spirit. That's amazing to be filled with the Spirit. Write it down in that positive, faith-filled vibe. Okay? How are we doing? Nearly there. Keep going. Write down what's changing you. So many times I've come in with one way of thinking and I've gone out with another because my mind has been renewed. Now, can I make a comment? If you find it difficult to read, then do what you can. But you can get the Bible, the audio Bible. You can listen to that audio. So don't make not reading an excuse to not investing the word in your life. Find a way to get the word in. So record, observe. Now for me, this is a key word. When Joshua was told he's got to go in and conquer the land, God said to him in Joshua chapter 1, meditate on my word day and night, because as you do that, and as you observe to do it, you will make your way successful. Meditate on it. In other words, think about it, speak it over and over again, look at it again, so that you will observe to do it. So this word observe is going back to what you've written down from the Word of God in your journal. And it's like when you go shopping, which some of us still do, not just online. And we go past shops, and have you ever been past a shop window and you've gone, wow, look at that. Has anybody ever done that? You're walking along, you're looking at everything, you're still seeing things. Isn't it like that in the Word? And then suddenly you're like, ooh, that might work. I like the look of that, it would fit me. I think it's the right style. And you start to really home in on and look intently at this particular thing that God is saying. Now, it's not just a light thing then, is it? It is a really let the word of God sink in. What God is saying, sink in. Observe it. Look intently. Let it find its home in you. Let it come begin to live in you. And you begin to get the picture of what God is saying and what he sees you doing. Brilliant. Don't miss out that step. And I don't think I've ever heard anybody bring that step into a time alone with God. I think this is wisdom from God this morning. God is speaking to us. So observe, go back to, look at, meditate on. Then, oh beloved, don't be hearers only, but be doers also. The walk, without walking and doing it, putting it into practice, Christian life doesn't work. Can do all of those stages and have an amazing time with God, but if you don't do it, what's the point? What's the point? Yeah? So you observe to do it. So put it into practice. Believe it. Pray it. Declare it. Shoot that arrow out. Speak it into every situation of need. Declare, this is what the Lord is saying. Share it with your wife, your husband. Get the light kicking off in the family. Let people come alive around you with the Word of God and begin to act on it. And God will reward you openly. You will see a dimension of God in your life because of arrow time. I hope and trust that was helpful. Amen. Shall we stand?
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.